I'm on. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone here, and good to be here. Sorry, technology nowadays. Oh, goodness. After my 21st birthday, I'll never get the technology. I'll never catch up. No, so hope you all enjoyed your holiday. It's slowly coming to the end. So enjoy the rest of it. I'd like to start by saying, could we just grab a Bible, not from someone else, from the chair in front of you or somewhere, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In my Bible, it's page 1,144. I do not know what number it is in your Bible, unfortunately. Yes, thank you, Andrew. So, I'm going to be focusing on this. I touched briefly on it at camp. We did a boys' brigade camp. We kind of touched on this topic of 1 Corinthians and seeing the kids like really, really interacting with it and asking questions about it. It's very pleasing to really speak about something and then get asked questions about it, because then you can go deeper, learn more. I've really enjoyed that camp. The kids really enjoyed it. They absolutely loved it. And I'm just going to really just dive bomb straight into what it says in the Word. I'm going to read it. It's from verse 26 through to 31. It says, "Brothers," I'll put ancestors, "think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble of birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has come for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So the first thing we see really is brothers / sisters. You are called. Each one of us are called. Now, if we're not really a believer, we think, I'm called? Called to what? Well, you're called to salvation. That's number one. Number two is, you're called to further God's kingdom. How? By fulfilling your calling, your own individual divine calling placed on your life. So God has called us. Not every one of us in this room come from exactly the same background. We don't come from I'm not very wise. I do stupid things all the time. Sure, someone please identify with me. But yeah, we all come from different backgrounds. But in this part of Scripture, it speaks about being wise by human standards, being influential by human standards, being strong by human standards. What's being strong by human standard? Really buff guy standing flexing about, that's really strong by human standards. By being influential, what's being influential by human standards? Oh yes, I'm famous. I got a bank account that's the size of Manhattan. I don't know, a huge bank account, huge amounts of money. That's being influential, being in a place where you can influence people. And what better way to influence people than money? So that's really being classified good in the world. If you have all of those things, if you're influential, if you're strong, if you're wise, and you don't do stupid things ever, then you're classified as being some of the good few of the world, of in terms of saying, yeah, I'm up there. You know, I'm on the pedestal. Yeah, that's a word. It's based on how much you know. It's based on the influence you have over people. And it's also based on your position. And here it says, not many of you were noble at birth. It's based on your position. It doesn't necessarily have to be your point of birth or where you come from, who your parents are. But it's today's society. It's about your job, your salary, and your family life. Now, Those are all good things of the world. You have those, you fit right in, snug and cozy, tucked in a rug. What? Snug as a bug, tucked in a rug. That's the one. And that's how we are once we have all of those. We tick those boxes and we are perfectly safe. We're absolutely right with the human standards of living. But God chose us. That's one thing we've got to underline. God chose us. So here's the good news. The good news is that none of those things can save you. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. I'm going to go with good news. But none of those things can save you. Let's face it, it's hard work. Being wise, you've got to read a lot, study a lot. To be intelligent, you've got to study a lot. And I'm aware that there are some doctors in the room, and that's hard work. That's a lot of hard work. It's hard work to become influential. It's hard work to become a celebrity. It's really, really hard work. I would never want to be a celebrity. It's very hard to be noble. Number one is, I don't know how you would be noble, but or one of like that noble position, but I'm sure it would be very hard to obtain. It's very hard to get. So the good news is that Jesus came to earth. This is the gospel. Jesus came to the world. He died so that we could get all of that free of charge. It's called grace. Grace was given to us freely. He says here. Now here's a little joke. So us South Africans, if we see the title free, we take it. It's a weird way of thinking about it, but it's grace was given. There's this kind of observation. You ask any South African anywhere in South Africa, are you saved? They say, I'm born again. I'm saved. They might not be, but they'll say it. Why? Because grace is free. We take grace. We see grace, we take grace. Or we feel grace, we take it. And we just move in that. It's a place of acceptance. Grace is... Hi, Grace. Grace is a point of acceptance. If you have grace, you're accepted by Christ. And being accepted by Christ, well, you can ask for wisdom from Christ. And you obtain it through Christ. You can ask for influence. You being giving your life to Jesus, become someone who can disciple others. Many of you have discipled myself and Simon. Why? Because you have Christ Jesus in you. That's what God gives. And all of us who accept Christ Jesus become noble at birth. We become heirs to the kingdom. We can become sons and daughters of the living God, the true King, the one and only King. So, it goes on to say, I want to focus on verse 29. It says, so that no one may boast before him. Oh, wait, let me go before that. It says, he chose the lowly things, verse 28. It says, he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. He chose the low things. Now, I read a commentary on this of God works among, he works his marvels amongst the low positions of life. I didn't really know what that meant at first. And then I looked into it and I thought, it's really, really true. When you're down in the dumps, when you're like down there, God's working with you. He's working. If you receive that gift of God, that Jesus Christ gift, he will work in you in those times of need. Joy spoke about that. I shared a testimony earlier today with Stephen and I. Of when you're down there and you're looking to God, he's working. He's working. There's something being done there. And why is it being done? Because God loves you. He loves you, and therefore he will work in those positions. And once we get through that hard patch, we look back and you'll be like, whoa, how am I here today? How am I here right now without God working in that place? I ask myself the question of, how am I in England? I've often asked myself this. I think to myself, how? how did I get here? It's all kind of a blur, but I knew God worked. By human means, by human standards, I would not be here. But by God's standard, I am here. And God gives all of these things. He gives us through the promise of Jesus Christ and the acceptance through of Jesus Christ. Verse 29, I'll get onto that one now. So that no one may boast before him. Have you ever lifted yourself up? So I know I've spoken once and someone got saved and I was like, yeah, I got them saved. I was like, yeah, pump myself up. Has anyone ever done that? If you don't mind raising your hand, raise your hand. Every single one of us has lifted ourselves up. We've given ourselves status. And I want to underline the word self. We've given ourselves status. We've pumped ourselves up from where we are. Doesn't always work. That's number one. But imagine God's now doing his work in the low positions of the world. We're up here. We're all, yeah, pushing our chests out, walking about. But here's in the low areas. We're looking down on that because we're up here. As soon as God does something great there, and we go to God, we're like, yeah, God, I got someone saved. And God's like, hold on. Someone down there has just raised someone from the dead. The Bible says, if you don't humble yourself, you'll be humbled. I'd rather humble myself because it hurts if you're about to be humbled by God. And the self-elevation is something that God wants to break. It's a prison where you seek glory for yourself and not for God. And God does this work amongst the foolish things of the world, the things that are not influential among the world, the things that are not noble at the world's standard. He does work there. He does a mighty work in those positions. And sometimes we feel like we're in those positions. We feel like we're low, but God's working in us. And those who lift themselves up and push their chests out will be humbled. Why? Because God's working in us. And we're not seeking glory for ourselves. We know we can't get ourselves out of that position. That's where we look to God. And from that, we no longer boast in ourselves. We can't boast before Him and say, I did this. But instead, we can say that God did this. For me, I can't go and stand in front of God and be like, I got myself to England. Beat that. I can't. I absolutely can't. I know where I come from and I know the situation I was in. But now, standing in God's grace, I am in England. It's shocking to think how God works and then puts you in a place. God works mightily. So, yeah, there is power in the name of Jesus. We sang that. So that no one may boast before him. It is because of him, verse 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So what do we get from God? If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what do we get? We all want to get something out of it. Let's face it, I would never have come to Jesus if I never got something out of it. I didn't know what I'd get, but I thought I'd get something. I got salvation. Let's just clarify that. So, what are we going to get if we give our lives to Jesus? But the scripture says, it is because of Him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus. God sent Christ Jesus to die for each one of us so that in Him we will get righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Those are big, big, big words. So we'll become right with God. That's righteousness. We'll become holy and blameless in His sight. And we will get salvation. Despite the wrong things that we've done, we'll be saved from every single bad thing that we've ever done. This is through Christ Jesus. So we can't boast before Him because we can't become right by our own standards. We definitely can't follow the Ten Commandments. We can't become holy because we've all sinned. So therefore, you're not holy. we can't be saved because nothing we do, nothing we say, nothing we pay could ever bring us closer to God or even give us salvation. And it goes on to say in verse 30, therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. Now in Jeremiah 29 verse 4, it says this, just give me a second. I like the way it said that in Jeremiah. That exact same verse. It says this, but let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. I like the way that was put. So, let's not boast in ourselves, but boast in Christ Jesus, who was given to us. Underline the word give. We didn't work for him. It was given. And we took it. Or can take it. It is because of God that we have Christ Jesus. It is through Jesus Christ that we become right with God. It is through Jesus Christ that we become holy. And it is through Jesus Christ that we obtain redemption. Now, I can't go before God and say, I did this. But instead, I can go before God and I can say, God, Jesus, through me, is standing up here. I don't naturally stand up on a stage and talk to people. I'm terrified. But naturally, that's not me. But through Christ Jesus strengthening me, I can't do anything by my own power except through God. I could not get myself to England except through God. I can't take any of that glory, but I can boast in Christ Jesus. I can tell you that God got me here. Jesus Christ got me here to England. So God, we see in the Old Testament of there's a separation between the Pharisees and all of them. The Pharisees are always pumping themselves up. Why? Because they're boasting in themselves. They are there standing about saying, oh yeah, I'm better. I'm following the Ten Commandments, which is a lie. But they're always doing this thing of self-elevation. And God, as we've read, doesn't want that. He says no one should boast before him because I'm working in the low things. And you will be put to shame. The foolish things of this world will fool the wise. And here we have the Pharisees standing up there, putting their chests out, saying, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Whereas God saying, no, no. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. And then you can boast in me. Who better to boast in than Christ Jesus? So we see with the Pharisees, sorry, I'm just jotting back to that. You see the Pharisees creating the separation of big dogs and small dogs. And God is saying, I've sent Christ Jesus, who for us has become the wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So with that, there was separation, let's say. Jesus was sent to create unity. Unity with us, unity with him, through acceptance of Christ Jesus. So from that, from Jesus, from being accepted, we are then right, we're holy, and we're saved. So now being in Christ Jesus, we can't really boast of. When we're in Christ Jesus, the whole word of in is not, you're not by his side, you're not on top of him, you're not underneath him. You're in Christ Jesus. You're no longer yourself, but you are in Christ. And you should be boasting in Christ Jesus. You should be saying, this is what Christ Jesus has done through me. This is what God has done through me. I want to leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, however, as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That's in verse 10. Verse 9 is, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Each one of us love, that's it, right there. Every one of us in this room love Christ Jesus. If you haven't, we'll be more than glad to get you to love Him. And really, it's nothing in this world could imagine what God has in store for you. But I want you to know that you should not, once you receive that, you shouldn't be saying, God, look what I've done. Instead, you'd be saying, thank you, God, for doing this through me. Thank you, God, for being who you are in my life. Thank you, God, for giving me righteousness, making me right with your Father, where I messed up so many times. Thank you for making me white as snow. Thank you for giving me salvation. Thank you for saving me from my own sin. I want to finish by saying, you are right with God, you are holy with God, and you have been saved by God through one thing, and very, very easy thing, acceptance of Christ Jesus. That's all we do.
Well, we've all heard it clearly enough. And maybe you've not ever responded to such a message as this. Well, today's the day. This morning is the morning to be able to turn to God and say, Lord, please save me. Please give me that redemption, which means He's paid a price to set us free from slavery. And if you want to do that, then Willem's around at the end of the service. He'll be down here at the front. And those of us who have done that, I thought we could just spend 60 seconds in silence and just consider, what can I boast about in the Lord? Should we do that? Let's just think personally. What is there that the Lord has done for me? Of course, salvation, but think a little further and wider than that also. What can I boast about of what the Lord has done for me? And whatever it is that the Lord's brought to your mind, my encouragement is, let's seize the opportunities that we receive this week to boast about the Lord. To one another, let's boast about the Lord and His work in our lives. And then to people who don't know Him, let's boast about Him and be clear that the glory goes to Him. It's grace that has saved us. It's grace, God's grace, that has done that work in our life. Whatever it is that He's just brought to your mind. And it's His grace that keeps us. And we get to bless one another with His grace by praying His grace over one another. So I'm going to invite you to turn to page 820 from the second letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're in the Blue Bible, then it's page 820. And Paul finishes by saying, aim for perfection. In Jesus, obviously. He says, listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the saints send their greetings. And then we're going to pray verse 14 over one another. If you know it, then you can perhaps look at one another. If you don't know it, then you can simply read it out loud with us. So let's say the words together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.